left off on the Zayin Beis, Surah Machlokes and Gemara, definitely Machlokes and Amorai, perhaps even Machlokes and Tanoim, whether if two people come, two Shlichim come together with a get, is there a need to say, Fayadecha, Fayadecha, Benah? What does that issue depend upon? It probably is a throwback to the old story as to why we're saying the Fayadecha in the first place. If we're saying the Fayadecha, according to Rabbah's understanding, that it's just to ascertain that the get was written in the Shema, why should it make a difference whether there's one or two people? But if the whole reason for the Fayadecha is based on Rabbah's understanding, is just to make sure that we have an aid in the Tzum HaKaimo at some point, if you have two people, so then you have these two shlichim, so why do you have to, how do you have to drive yourself crazy to say, I'm just go the regular route of Kiyum Shtaros. If and when there's a problem, we'll have the aid available. So that's what seems to be the issue over here. The Gemara picks up, again, enough to Zayin Rebeis. Let's pick it up from Mishnah Harina, where the Gemara presented a slightly different twist on the Shitas. We'll pick it up to Zayin Rebeis. It's about 10 lines or so from the top. The first one line is Gazrinan. There's another version of this discussion. Amar of Shmuel ben Yehuda, Amar of Yochanan, afilu get yotz v'tachas shneiam posel. But even if the get is being brought by both shlichim, fayadecha must be said. And if it wasn't said properly, one guy said half, the other guy said the other half, then he get the nusach right. So the get is going to be posel. Amar kasavar. So Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion according to this lashon. Shneiam should be get from binas shneiam tzrichin shom fayadecha fayadechta. And in fact, two people have to say it. Amalei, it's a buyer of Asi. Obeyata Sefer, the Tani, Shnaim, Omfadene, Nechtam, Yechel, Fanechtam, also Rabbi the Mashir. The end of the Mishnah, which quotes about Flakes at Tanoi, about the details of this halacha, Afilu get Yotzimitach, they Shnaim, Pasta, Rabbanon. Are you going to tell me that even if it's brought by two, it's going to be a problem? Amalei, yeah, it is going to be a problem. But in fact, just having two people bring it is not going to solve the problem. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it may solve the problem. Rabbi Yehuda Marshu, Rabbi Yehuda said that as long as you have two Eidim bringing it, two Shlichim bringing it, you're okay. So, but my commitment, what are they arguing about? So, exactly what we said. Marsavar Lufisha Eibikir Lishma. So, the Rabbanan were of the opinion that the purpose of saying Fayanechtav is to make sure that it was written Lishma. So, that applies equally to two Shlichim. Marsavar Lufisha Eidim Tzum HaKaimo. And Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that the whole purpose is just to make sure there are Eidim around. If there are two shluchim, so the man will have Eidim. So now the Gemara says, well, wait a second. If that's really what the Tanoim are arguing about, Lema de Rabba of Rabba Tanoi. So this Machlokas, Rabba and Rabba, which began in the days of the Amoraim, are you going to tell me this is an age-old Machlokas? We've been learning this Machlokas for 16 months already. That the whole Machlokas, Rabba and Rabba, is really just a repeat of an old Machlokas of Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanan? So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. The Gemara says, "Lo, Rava mitaris klish kama," that the Rava will say pshat like the first lashon. According to the first lashon, nobody said you really require b'fay nechtav by when you have two shluchim. The Rava amalach, and Rava will say you the kliyama bein l'shva. Rava will say everybody agrees that the whole purpose is for l'shva, and therefore you should need it even by two shluchim. The reason why these Tanoim are very, very lenient and say we can let you get away without saying the Fayin Echtav, that's because we're talking about a time when people already do know the Din of Lishma. We spoke about this earlier this year, that there were different times in history. Some, but they didn't, were a little bit more familiar with the halacha than others. So if and when you lived in a period of time when the people really did know the Din of Lishma, then there really is no reason to say the Fayin Echtav, Fayin Echtav. But Lemaisa, we still do it. Lemaisa, the Tanoim said that even if you live at a time when the Bati Dinim are proficient in this halacha, we're still not going to do away with this halacha because we're always afraid that this generation may know things, the next generation will become unrotten again. It's a functional revolving door in terms of the degree of knowledge. And therefore, once the Takanas Chacham is in place, we're going to keep it in place, the Olam Moed. That's what's called Shemiyach Zedavukul Kulo. So the question is, do we make this Gezeira across the board? So the Marsava Gazrina, Marsava Lo Gazrina, that one time was of the opinion that we make this Gezeira, and therefore we keep to the standards of B'fayin Nechtav under all circumstances. So just like in the old days, you had to say B'fayin Nechtav all the time, so to B'zman Hazeh, even though they didn't know what they're doing, you have to say B'fayin Nechtav all the time. And the other Tata said, If it's two shluchim who bring it, that's not the most common scenario. That's what we call a milsa de lo shchicha, something which is so uncommon, logos written. We're not going to make the gezeira. So if the purpose of a fadan echta was really, truly, we're concerned about a lack of lishma, and Rabbi says the game's over, you have to say the fadan echta of 1,000 days, shluchim bring it. It must stay the fadan echta. We're talking about post the period of a real concern. It's a new issue now called gezeira shemiyatsa double kukulo. So some tanaim said, it's two people, we'll give you the green light. It's okay. You don't have to say the fadan. So we asked the Gemara of a little dami Rabbi Yehuda Bereisha. If that's the case, that Rabbi Yehuda really was of the opinion that this man hazeh, there's no need to say b'fadanecha, whenever there are two people, why doesn't he argue in the beginning of the Mishnah? Why does Rabbi Yehuda only appear at the very end of the Mishnah? He did argue. We learned about this Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees in the entire Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about saying b'fadanecha by two shluchim. Rabbi Yehuda said it's not right. So the bottom line is there really now almost like three factors in this equation. Before you pass him the fadanecha of shalom, you have to ask yourself, number one, are you a rabba person or a rabba person? Do you care about the shema, or are you concerned about a lack of aidim to confirm the signatures? Issue number one. Issue number two is you have to ask yourself, what period of Jewish history are you living in? Are you living in a time when the Bate Dinim are more knowledgeable than others? And number three, even if you're living in a time where the Bate Dinim are knowledgeable, are you still concerned? Are you still going to go the extra mile and say, we have to keep to the old style, keep to the old practice? Or are you willing to a little bit of wiggle room and say, well, if it's two shemichim anyway, it's very unlikely, therefore there's nothing to worry about. So the answer to all three of those questions is the result in the different shittas that we have in our sugya.
It's also in areas of Eretz Yisrael.
Well, yeah, the whole thing is only chutzpah. The entire gezeirah is only chutzpah because in the olden days, in Eretz Yisrael, there never was a problem.
Now, according to the Raya, everybody should then agree. If everybody agrees on that, everybody should agree what the reason is, because the whole reason it was only parts of Eretz Yisrael is because of but they didn't were knowledgeable.
No, but even if you go down the other route, that the issue was Eidim and Sukkah Kaimah, like I explained earlier, that there was less of a concern about Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael was more traffic, people going to be regular, but they didn't were around. So at the end of the day, the Mishnah for sure draws a line of demarcation in Eretz Yisrael Chutzpah. But that line of demarcation doesn't necessarily indicate the reasons for Lishma. It could be understood in Rava's model as well. So at the end of the day, we're 16 blind into the Masechta, and we haven't yet given, and we've learned a few other things along the way, we haven't given a clear-cut answer to ultimately why we're saying B'fai Nechta. There are two very, very different approaches here as to why the whole B'fai Nechta is being said. So Gemara doesn't let up. Masi Rav Oshia Le'ula. Rav Oshia raised the question to Ula. Rav Yehuda Machshir B'zul V'lo B'Acheres. Rabbi Yehuda was machshir in one case, but he wasn't machshir in the other case. What is that other case? My love, the miyute echanom v'fai nechtam, echanom v'fai nechtam. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda refused to accept in a case where one shliach says it was written in my presence, and one says it was signed in my presence. According to everything we just said, according to Rabbi Yehuda's logic, if there were two people here, nothing could go wrong, because if there are two people here, you don't have to say anything. So why does Rabbi Yehuda himself concede that that's no good? If one says b'fai nechtav, one says b'fai nechtav, that's not acceptable. What's wrong with that? You can come and say nothing and that's okay. And one says, no. What Rabbi Yehuda meant to disqualify was not that case, but rather low. Rabbi Yehuda b'fai nechtav, ava lo b'fai nechtav. Rabbi Yehuda sticks to his guns. If there are two shluchim that come, everything is okay. If you don't have to say anything, nothing can go wrong. But if there's one shluch who comes, and he gives a half-baked story. He says, b'fadi nechtav, but he forgot to say b'fadi nechtav. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says is a problem. Why would somebody think that that was okay? He's only one shuliach. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. He said half the story. So I would have said as follows. Sagadai dechamin, I would have thought, hovolo gozer Rabbi Yehuda gezeirish shabiyach nevukukulo. You see that Rabbi Yehuda is very, very lenient in this sugya. He's not so worried about past generations. He says, if your generation is up to par, we'll give you a green light. So I might think Rabbi Yehuda, who's so lax in all these gezeiros, he takes this very lightly. If you remember back 14 years ago, the whole reason for saying b'fani nechtav, according to Rava, what do I need b'fani nechtav for? If I know that it's signed, I know the witnesses. The whole reason for the phrase b'fani nechtav is just to make it clear to people that this is not regular kim shtaros. Because if you hear one shliach saying before nechtam, so next thing you know is people say, oh, kiyum shoros, 1A, that's great, no problem. All kiyum shoros can be with 1A. So Chazal dafka added the basically superfluous phrase of before nechtav, just to remind everybody that this is not regular kiyum shoros. So I would have thought Rabbi Yehuda is not so into that. Rabbi Yehuda is not so into these gezeiros. So Rabbi Yehuda would let you get away with before nechtam, kamash v'lan. So the bottom line is, we're back to exactly where we left off, which is exactly what the Gemara says in Banami. We learned, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Shnayim Shigu Get Medina Sayyam. What is the din if two people bring a get from Medina Sayyam? Banu l'machlagis Rabbi Rabbanan. So it ultimately depends upon the machlagis Rabbi Rabbanan. So now the Gemara tells a fascinating story, picking up on the heels of this discussion, but it's almost like in the middle of this back and forth and back and forth about technicality. The Gemara throws this historical, interesting tidbit. So comes the Gemara and tells the following. Rabbi Bar Bachana Cholosh. Rabbi Bar Bachana was sick. Ola Gabei Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi L'Shilei Bei. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi came to the Bekah Cholim. So usually, you've got Cholim, you ask them, how are you feeling? What can we do? You know, is there anything we can help with? You know, I guess you go to the Bekah Cholim to Rabbi Bachana. You want to cheer him up, so you start talking and learning. So, Bominay, they asked him the following Shaila, lo and behold, Shnayim, should you get him, Dina Sayam, Shrikim Shalom, Fanechtam, oh, ain't Shrikim. That was the subject of discussion. Can you imagine laying there sick in bed, and the Amaran will come and say, oh, that's for getting after Zion. But for the 16th time, let's discuss the same Shaila. What's the deal? The two people have to say, Fanechtam, and so Amalam, ain't Shrikim. So, Rabbi Khan on his illness, responded, there's no need to say before Nechtav. Ma'ilu yom faneu girshu bilom henne. And the rationale of Rabbi Chana said was that if they themselves would say, if she was his garsha, let's say two Edom would walk into the basin and say, we know she's divorced. So we wouldn't ask them, well, where's the get? Where? If two Edom, Pishtai ben Rebom Dover. So if two Edom say she's divorced, so if two Edom bring the get, the game's over. There's nothing else for them to say. They don't have to say before Nechtav anymore. So that was the answer that Rabbi Chana gave. Adahochi, as this discussion was going on, Asu Hau Chavara, a man came, Chavara, it's not clear exactly what the pronunciation is, but Chavara, it basically means someone from Rashi's Parsoi, one of the Persian non-Jews who were around at that time. The story took place in Babel, and the Persians were in control of Babel at the time. So one of the Persians walked in, Shakla Nishraga Mikamayu. So he walked into the room that they're in, and he took the candle away, blew out the candle in the room. Why in the world he blew out the candle in the room? Rashi explains because the Persians had certain holidays that they were fire worshippers. They were all kind of maisalach. And there were certain days of the year where you weren't allowed to have any fire except in their temples. But basically, if you weren't in their temple, you sat in the blackout. So we know this actually from Hilchos Chanukah. This is the Sugya Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara talks about if a person's afraid to put the menorah outside because they're afraid the Goyim are going to see it. So it's, I guess we have to give a little custom to the Persians. Because of all those problems in the old days, the Goyim would sometimes blow out the Jewish candles. That's why our practice is we keep our candles, generally speaking, indoors. Even though the Iker Adin, you really should do it like the menorah outside, like on the porch, right outside the door. But then we should explain, based on that Gemara, be afraid that the Goyim are going to start up with you. So in today's world, I don't think we have to worry about the Persian fire worshippers, but we have to worry about the town. So they may come and call us out of that if we have 100 menorahs all over the street. So that's when Eretz Yisrael, we have to do light outside because no one's going to start up with them in Eretz Yisrael. So the bottom line is this Persian fellow came and he took the candles away. Shakal Shalom Kamayu. Omar, so Rabbi Bachana, was kind of groaning. He was sick and he had just discussed the love of the Shoshana before Nechtav. Now he just got dark in the room. So Amri turns to Rabban Shalom and says, Amar Rachamana Obetulach Obetulach Debar Esa. He says, Rabban Shalom, we want either under your dominion, either you'll protect us, or send us to Esa. Send us to the Esa, was always the Romans. So Rabbi Rachana was complaining. He said, we can't live in these Persians. That's why they're making us sit in the dark. We'd rather be under the Roman rule, the Esa. Now, you know from that time of history, pretty much the Jews that were in Eretz Yisrael were under the Roman rule. The Jews that were involved were actually under the Persian rule. So Rabbi Rachana is bemoaning the fact that I'd rather be with the Romans than be with the Persians. Actually, Rabbi Bar Bachana knew both of these rules because Rabbi Rachana was a Talmid of Yochanan. He had lived part of his life in Eretz Yisrael, so he was able to judge which was a better place to be. So ask the Gemara, Lameima Daramoy Malami Parsoi. From that statement, Rabbi Bachana, it would appear that the Romans were nicer to the Jews than the Persians were. But Tani, the Gemara says that not so simple. We have another statement of Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia also knew both. Rabbi Chia lived originally in Babylon, lived in Babel, and then he moved to Eretz Israel. It's interesting, you have all these Amoraim who lived a dual existence, and they knew both of the systems, so they were commenting on which system was better. Neither was great, but they were commenting on which was better. But Tani, Rabbi Chia saw my dechsev. What does the pasuk mean? Elokim megin darka, hu yada es mekoma. The pasuk in Iyov says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the path, and he knows the place. So what does that mean? Yodei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the Jewish people, she'ein yichol mekabal gzeres haramiyim. He knows that they won't be able to tolerate the Romans. The Romans are too tough on them. Amar v'heglosam lebavol. Therefore, he sent us into Bavol, most of the Jews at the time of Rabbi Chia, many lived in Bavel. So apparently in Bavel, the situation was politically better for the Jews than it was in Eretz Israel. So it's a serious contradiction. So Rabbi Rachana and Rabbi Chia were not that far apart in terms of time, maybe the generation before. So they were both commenting on the two different kingdoms. The 99% of the Jews were under either the Romans or under the Persians. So Rabbi Chia is telling us that the Persians are better, because Baruch Hu did us a toiva, but not sending us to the Romans. And Rabbi Chan is bemoaning the fact that we're under the Persians, we've got to be under the Romans. He says, look, gosh, it's not a contradiction. The two different times. It means that before the Chabar were the Persians, the Zoroastrianism, their religion, but before they came, things were pretty good. The Babylonians proper were not bad to the Jews. By the time when the Persians started to come, the fire worship with all the Maislach, they caused a lot of more trouble for the Jews in later years. So that's why Rabbi Machana was bemoaning, Im Kfar Aspa, the Persians are already here, we might as well go back to the Romans. So it sounds like there's almost like a hierarchy, that the best for the plain Babylonians are the best. Yes, the Iraqis, I guess, the plain Babylonians, they were the best of Jews. Under that, the Romans came in a close second, and then the Persians, the Yemishigas, were on the bottom of the run. There is an interesting question Rashi and Tyson discuss, when exactly this transformation happened. So Rashi has a difficult comment in terms of when this happened. And Tyson points out from other Gemaras, it sounds like it's much later than the way Rashi is dating it. So an interesting little historical tidbit, a little digression from our general story. But we do get back to our regular story before our Nechtam. So Gemara goes back again. So Echad Omer for Nechtam, Shnayim Omer for Nechtam, Kashi. Gemara seems to never cease to analyze this Mishnah, although it is going to come to an end by the end of the Yomud. But this is the last Arah of this Sugya. So the last part of the Mishnah said that one person says before Nechtam, and two people say before they Nechtam. So that sounds like it's okay. That's not a bad setup. Because we have the ksiva under control based on the one shliach who said it, and we actually have two edim saying before nechdam, it sounds like we're good to go. So I'm Rabbi Ami, I'm Rabbi Yochan, and Loshon Shiget Yochan Achaz Yad Eik Ksiva. Rabbi Yochan says, wait, not so simple. That's assuming that the person who says before nechdam was a shliach. Because if he was a shliach, so then a shliach has a special nemanus, he's treated like two. So then we have the Nasu Kishtayim Moses, so we have quote unquote two people testifying about the Ksiva, we have two people, two real people testifying about the Chasima. Aval, says Rabbi Yehuda, mitachas the Eid Chasima, what if it's the Eid Chasima who had the Shlichim, and the one who said before Nechtav was not a Shliach? So if he wasn't a Shliach, then he doesn't have that special Nemonos. He's an Eid Echad, so an Echad is generally nothing unless he's granted that special privilege of being the Shliach. So says Rabbi Yochanan, if you have the one guy who says Mufari Nechtav is not a Shliach, then puzzle. That Mufari Nechtav is no good. Because you're missing an official statement of Mufari Nechtav. Mufari Nechtav is only said by one guy, the one guy is not a Shliach. Even though there's more than two, even though there are two people who brought the get. Yes. Alma Kasavar, Shnaim, Shivu Gam Dinas Yam, Tzich Shom, Mufari Nechtav. If Rabbi Yochanan says Pshad in the Mishnah like that, that case would be a problem, even though there are two Shlichim. Rabbi Yochanan is taking a stand on the previous sugya that just because you have two shlichim, that does not exempt you from saying before nechta properly. So Rabbi Asi asked him, Elamayat, if that's the case, Reisha, going back to the last sugya, the Tani Shnaim Om Fane Nechta, the Echra Om Fane Nechta, possibly the Machshir, but if you get Yazudach, they stand past their brother, you're going to tell me that the Rabbanan disqualified even if there are two? Amalei in? Yep. Yeah. So if Yochanan is referring back to the list, he can say two people does not solve the world's problems. But that was not the end of the story. Zimnin Ashkei B'Yasvekamar, there are other times when Rabbi Yochanan had a different interpretation of this Mishnah, where he used to say, the Afilu get Yotzi Mitachas the Eidei Chasima Kashya. Even if the get is leaving the hands of the Eidei Chasima, and the person who's saying B'Fani Nechtav is not a Shaliach, and it's still okay. How was it okay? He's not a Shaliach. Alma Kasavar, Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion, Shnayim Shaviyu get Medinas Yam, Ein Tzrichim Shem B'Fani Nechtav Nechtav. It must be Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that there's no need to say B'Fani Nechtav when there are two people. So Rabbi Asi asked him, according to this understanding, Elamayata, the beginning of the Mishnah that talks about two guys saying B'fai Nechta, the Echlam B'fai Nechta, possibly the Machshir. The only time that that's no good is time with the Ena get Yotzi B'tach Zidei Shneim. That's assuming that you don't have to shlichim. I get Yotzi B'tach Zidei Shneim Machshir Rabbanan, would the Rabbanan say that's kosher? So he said yes. So now Rabbi Asi quotes Rebbe in a contradiction. 10 lines ago, you told us that two shlichim still have to say B'fai Nechta. Now you're changing your mind and telling us that they don't. So he asked him, he challenged him. He said, there are previous times, a few lines before, you told us it's not true. Amalei, he said, you're right. What I just told you now is the yated. That's the yated neman. Yeah, that's the thing. You got to stick it to the ground. That's the final word. This is the final achareki klos akol word that there's no need to say b'fanechem if you have two shluchim who are doing the job. So after about two blocks of back and forth of Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanan, Rabba, Rava, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Asi, about everybody under the sun for about 200 years, including Rabbi Chana and the Persians, had what to say about this topic, it seems that the Gemara has finally ended the sugya. Maybe we should add a little kiddush. I think we could finally for now say that we finished the sugya of B'fai Nechta, B'fai Nechta. So we have about a minute or so, we can actually start the next mission. So although the words Nechtav and Nechtav do appear in the next mission, don't get nervous. It's a different stuff. It's a different sugya gathering. So just in case you got lost somewhere between the Persians putting out the lights, I'm ready to start off to a new beginning. Nechtam bayom, the nechtam bayom. What if a regular get, nothing to do with chutzlars, a regular normal get, it's written on a Tuesday and it's signed on Tuesday. Both the writing took place in the daylight hours and the signatures took place in the daylight hours, or a laila for nechtam balaila, or if a get was written at night and it was signed at night, it's also okay. The laila for nechtam bayom, also kosher. If it was written at night and then signed the next day during the daylight hours, it's also kosher. Why is that? It's the same date. Because obviously the lucky day begins the night before. But now we run into a problem. Bayom v'nechta balayla. The get is written today and dilly dallied and they don't get around to sign it again until tonight. That is a huge problem. That is puzzle. That's what's called a get mukdom or sham mukdom. When you have a document that has a certain date on it, but it wasn't signed that day, it wasn't signed till the following date, and even though the following day is just a few hours, a few minutes later after it gets dark, such a get is process called a shtar muktam. Rabbi Shimon Machshin, Rabbi Shimon says that that's okay. A get muktam is all right. Shahay Rabbi Shimon Omer kol agitin shenichtavu b'yom v'nechtu b'layla psulim chutz megitei noshim. Rabbi Shimon says that all gittin, here's the word gittin in shtaros, all other documents, namely monetary documents that are incorrectly dated, are problematic. Again, isha is not a problem. So we don't know, a lot of things are unclear about this Mishnah. We don't know exactly what is so terrible about having the date off a little bit. We're not questioning that the gerusha took place. We're not saying the late Adam Allah made a mistake. They thought that they wrote to get today. They forgot they read the mincha. They come back and said tishkia. So they started after dark. What's the big deal? The Mishnah says no. Such a get is considered to be a apostle. The Bishimun says all other documents apostle under those circumstances. A get isha happens to be okay. So we're not quite sure why a get muktab shuvah should not be kosher. We're not quite sure what other documents are for sure considered to be apostle. But there's something even more basic that we don't understand is, why are we writing dates and keeping it all together? Who cares what the date is? If if Reuben divorced Sarah, my nafkamina, when it happened. That's where the Gemara begins with it. We learned the following discussion. Why did Chazal institute the very institution of Zman again in the first place? Writing a Zman is going to cause us trouble. That's why we're getting confusion. Reuben divorced Rachel and finished. Why do you need Zman again? So it's clear from the Lashna Gemara that the requirement of Zman is not a dim in the Torah. Doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash that you require Zman. And again, just says the Chosel is saving Israel from the other. Reuben writes to Rachel, gives her a get. So the whole institution of writing Zman was instituted by the Chachamim. So we don't know when exactly, some days in between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the days of Yehuda Nasi, instituted writing Zman. And the Amoraim is sitting around saying, why are we doing this? Why did Chazal institute Zman in the first place? So once we understand why they instituted Zman, then we can begin to analyze and what happens if we write the wrong Zman. So for Mitzvah Shem on Thursday, we'll try to continue answering this question of Neymar Tikkun Zman. Thank you.